Let's talk about the different tides that we get.
All tides work, you know, and you've got to figure out where you're going to be fishing, and what are you fishing for. But you must remember, we used to use the rift to our advantage, because a rift tide is like a telephone.
There you go, buddy. Hit it now!
This is the Angler News SA podcast. I'm Vanessa Green.
So hey guys, we are back with another Angler News Expert Series, and this time we are talking to Mr. Dave Irvine. Dave last spoke to us about winds, how winds affect fishing. Now today we are talking about the moons and tides, a question that we all want to know: which tide to fish on, when do we fish it, is there a better current, is there a difference between rip current and rip tide, spring tides, full moons, half moons, which is the best time to fish? So Dave, thank you so much for coming on our show again this week.
Absolute pleasure.
Last one was amazing. You gave us a lot of insights on how winds affect fishing. This time, let's talk about how the moon affects fishing. So we know we get the full moon, half moon, quarter moon, whatever it is. Does the moon play a role in fishing?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. Now, how so? Is that just purely to do with what it does to the tide, or is there something to do with more light on a full moon, or do you want to fish under a full moon because the fish can see more happening? What is it?
I think you've got to start off by saying, okay, you get every month, you get two spring tides, two neap tides.
Right.
Okay. The spring tides, you get a new moon and you get a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A new moon is dark. You don't see it. Okay. A full moon is when you see the moon.
Yes.
See the whole moon.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the moon is all about the gravitational pull on the water. So on a spring tide, so whether it's a new moon or a full moon, you're going to have maximum, you know, gravitational pull. So you get a very high tide, higher than normal high tide on springs.
Yeah.
And your low tide is lower than normal.
Okay.
On a spring tide.
Right.
So again, if you look at that, so then 2 weeks later, you get a neap tide, which means that the tide doesn't change much because your gravitational pull is very little.
So that's like on that half moon phase.
It's called a quarter, but it's neap tides. So, you know, as fishermen, you'll know what a neap tide is. A neap tide means that it's slack. It's not going to happen. Nothing much is going to happen. I loved a neap tide, just for what it's worth.
Well, I thought we want movement in the water.
It depends where I was fishing. So if I was fishing off points or things like that, I preferred a neap tide without that much, because obviously when you have a spring tide, okay, that's where you know, if you've got a rip current, for argument's sake, that rip current's going to be screaming, you know, on springs. Whereas on a neap tide, you can still have a rip current, but it's not going to be as, you know, in terms of the rip itself.
Yes.
It's not going to be as strong, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the result is, if I was fishing on a point, which would have a lot of rip anyway, what I found is that on spring tides, it just made it, in many cases, unfishable. I mean, it was just, you know, the currents would be that strong. Look, there's a lot of very, very, very good fishermen that love the spring tides. You know, that reckon that they can read water better on the spring tides, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, from what I hear, we should be getting excited when there's a spring tide.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that the fish operate on a spring tide. Okay. I used to find, okay, and this is, you know, I mean, I had very good results. So for me, it worked. I liked 3 days after springs. The reason for that is that your high tide on a full moon tide, so a spring tide, would be between 3 and 4 in the afternoon. Because you've got two highs and two lows every day. So at the end of the day, what we found, especially sort of competitive angling, was that high tide around 5:30, 6 o'clock, a high tide, okay?
Yeah.
So coming off springs, in between springs and neaps, okay? So it's that lovely in between.
Yeah.
That was when we would nail the fish.
You know? But what does it do? Does it cause more food to be coming up in the water? And does it cause the fish to come closer, or
the water
more movement? Why does the fish get turned on with that?
Well, when you're fishing on a high tide, I mean, the reason that I preferred 3 days after the springs was simply because your high tide was as it was getting dark or late afternoon.
Yeah.
Where generally speaking, the fish are more in the feed.
Of course.
Just in terms of, you know, the actual time period. But now to have water pushing, obviously, you must remember, in terms of rock and surf fishing, if I'm targeting a big sand, you know, I'm looking for banks, I'm looking for rips, I'm looking for all of that stuff, okay? And if I'm fishing on a pushing tide, you know, there's more water, there's more banks in play now, you know, those fish are coming in on those banks, it's better. But if I'm now, you know, at the banks and I'm waiting, then I want to spring low because I can just about walk to Mauritius, you know, and then actually get over the back.
Right.
So the result is We fish out all the tides, and they all work. It's not a case of, well, what's the best tide? Let me just pick one tide. That's the only time I'm ever going to fish. Mm. That's a mistake, because at the end of the day, it depends where you're fishing. Are you fishing on a point? If you're fishing in the Transkei, guys, the wild coast, it's called the wild coast for a reason. There's rips and things going on there all time, any day.
Irrespective of the moon phase.
And obviously, when it is a full moon, it's going to be, the rips are going to be worse.
Yeah.
You fall in there, most people don't come back. It's one of those where, it's just a case of where are you fishing? So, if I'm fishing at Zini or Durnford and I want a low tide, and it would be a lot better for me if it was a very low tide, that I could get further out and get over the back.
Right.
Will I catch fish? Absolutely. If it's a spring high tide, I'm dead in the water. I can't get there.
Yeah,
So will some fish come over on the high? Absolutely. I would be dealing with serious currents.
Yeah.
Proper rips, all sorts. It's much more difficult to actually pinpoint and say, okay, we're going to fish our times there, and we're going to fish over a high tide, but we actually need to be waiting. Doesn't make any sense. Sure. So all tides work. And you've got to figure out where you're going to be fishing, and what are you fishing for, that kind of thing.
All right, so we know the moon affects the tides. Let's talk about the different tides that we get. Now, the common ones, spring tide, neap tide, rip tide. Are there any others?
No. So what you've got is two spring tides every month.
Right.
Okay. So every 2 weeks.
Yes.
So you'll have a new moon, which is dark.
Right. So new moon equals spring tide.
Spring tide. Okay. So new moon.
So that's out the way.
And full moon. So there's two spring tides every month.
Yes.
One's a new moon, one's a full moon.
Yeah.
Okay. A full moon, bright. New moon, dark. So again, depending what I'm fishing for. If I'm fishing for cob, I want that new moon.
Okay.
I don't want much light. Unless I'm throwing artificials, then I prefer a full moon. Okay, so again, it depends what you're doing.
So if you're targeting sharks, grays, that kind of things, you want the new moon or the full moon?
Well, again, it depends where I'm fishing for them. Okay, if I'm at Sinkwazi on the beach, I probably want a full tide, not necessarily on the spring tide, because it's going to, again, the rips are going to get much stronger.
Yeah.
But you must remember, we used to use the rips to our advantage. Because a rip tide is like a telephone.
Okay, but I'm going to get into rip tides just now.
All right, okay. Right. So,
because I'm really interested in rip tides, because in our earlier conversation, we said there's a difference between rip tide and rip current. So we'll get into that one. But talking spring tides.
Okay,
right?
You got your two springs. Mm. So what happens is, let's start at the beginning. Let's say we got our first spring for the month is a new moon. Okay.
Right.
Then basically, a week later is a neap tide. The weak tide is a neap tide. So that neap tide means that the gravitational pull is way less. The tide hardly moves. And when I say hardly moves, you're going to go from, if you sort of measure on the beach where on a low tide, it's going to be up to a meter, and on the high tide, it's going to be 1.5 meters. So that's a point, that's half a meter actual difference, which is very little. Where on a spring tide, you're talking 0.5 versus 2 meters.
No, that's a significant
difference. Massive difference. So that's basically your tides.
Okay. Now tell me on that neap tide. Does these tides make a difference, whether it's spring or neap, to keep fish closer to the rocks or to the surf? I'm talking rock and surf angling. Would the fish come just and stay, because there's not much current pulling them out, there's not much gravitational pull sucking them out to the predators, would they just come and sit in between those?
They could. Absolutely could. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. I've absolutely annihilated fish, okay, where it was literally a midday neap tide, okay?
Yeah.
Midday neap tide. I mean, we're talking about, the middle of the day.
Oh.
I was fishing off a point.
Yeah.
And I tell you something,
the fish
now,
are close. Yeah.
I battled, I couldn't lose a bait from 8 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock.
Wow.
When it was basically a full neap tide.
Yeah.
At midday, it was chaos.
Okay.
Absolute
All right.
chaos.
Now, let's move on to the rip tides. Now, let's start off with the difference between a rip tide and a rip current.
Well, let me start with a rip tide. Okay. A rip tide can only happen on an outgoing tide. So, whereas a rip current can be there on any tide. What you need to understand is what is a rip current? So, what happens is you've got your waves pushing in. That water runs up the beach and it's got to run back.
Yes. Okay.
So there has to, it has to balance itself out.
Mm.
So with all that amount of from wave action now, so in other words, wave action creates a rip current.
Of course. Okay. Yes.
So that wave, the water coming up, the fact that water needs to stabilize and balance itself out, it means that all that amount of water that came up is going to go back up.
Mm.
So now, where are you going to find a rip current? You're going to find a rip current around points. You're going to find, like, on a straightforward beach, you're going to find there's a sandbank, okay, that we would be wading to on a spring low to get over, whatever. And that, now, you must remember, water will find, it wants to get back out to, you know, to actually stabilize and balance.
Mm.
So the result is it's going to push through that sandbank. If there's an opening in that sandbank, that's where your rip's going to come.
Mm.
Okay. You should be able to, if you just look for a rip, you can see that. Okay?
Yeah.
Rips are very useful to rock and surf anglers.
I was going to get to that. How would we use the rip tide or current to our advantage?
It's like phoning the sand sharks. So basically what I do is I say, okay, well, there's a rip. Okay, perfect rip. It's going out. You know, generally it can go out 200 meters, 100 meters, and basically it will always do that. Okay, so it'll go through that bank and it'll open up. It can go left or right. The result is that depending now, that's not a spring tide. That can go 3,000 meters out before it actually does that.
Mm.
So if I've got big giant sandy sitting out way out there, okay, all I need to do is throw a giant bait in that rip. And what it does is that smell is going to go, it's like I'm phoning the sandy. It's not going to go all the way out
so
to
that. That's how you're using it to your advantage.
That's how you use a rip. Yeah.
Would you use it to drift your bait further out to there?
You can do that if it's a live bait, like if you're throwing a mullet. Mm. You know, what you want to do is that's the smell. You know, the blood and whatever going out of the rip that actually calls them in. They will come up, especially sharks. You know, if you're targeting sharks, I'm talking gray sharks, Zambezis, whatever.
Yeah.
They will come. They can smell a little bit of blood.
All right. So now that we understand the different types of tides between, you know, spring, neap, rip, high tide and low tide, right? The most common question I get asked, which tide is better to fish in? And speaking of which tide, hypothetically, if it's a high, when do we fish that high tide?
Again, it's going to come down to you can't put this into a box and say, if it's a spring tide and it's 3 hours after the full, that's going to be the best time. No.
Yeah.
What happens, it depends where you're fishing. So if I'm going to go and fish a beach and I'm fishing for gray sharks and I'm fishing a beach, I'd want a pushing tide, okay?
Okay.
Because it's going to give me more water.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not necessarily a beach.
So you want the tide coming in.
I want the tide pushing.
You want that high tide coming in.
Yeah, I want a pushing tide. And it will work on the full tide and even on the turn to a certain point where we're not getting far enough out anymore.
Okay.
Okay, so in other words, the high tide can help you a lot off a beach because, you know, it's going to create more water. You know, once it becomes low tide, those banks are too shallow, they're not working, they haven't got water moving over the banks enough. You know, so at the end of the day, it all depends on where you're fishing.
Okay, so say hypothetically, we've got a 8 o'clock high tide.
Yeah.
We should be having a bait in the water from about 5.
Perfect. Half tide, half tide pushing, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would love a half tide pushing all the way back down to a half tide dropping because that's when it would run away. That was the end of that.
Okay.
So generally you're going to get 6 good hours. So it's, it's very different because if I'm going to go and fish Seattle Point up in Tugela, I can't get on the point if it's high.
No, sure.
Okay, so I now need to fish on an outgoing tide, you know, so I'm going to then go and say, you know, fish for 3 hours from after the high. So basically if I'm fishing on a point, okay, then I'm going to actually want to fish on an outgoing tide because I'm not going to be able to get on a lot of points, you know, like on a full tide. But again, that can change. So, for example, if I'm fishing for gray sharks, I'm going to try and hang on to that point, you know, for one of the Bolito points. I can try and hang on to stay on that point as long as I can because the gray sharks are chowing. And then, obviously, sometimes it'll turn and they might chow for an hour or so after the turn and then they're gone.
Mm.
So, but if I'm fishing big points like Seola or, you know, anything like that, I'd rather be on an outgoing tide where now I can spend more time on that point. I'm getting into deep water anyway because I'm fishing off a point.
All right, so that would be your incoming and outgoing on your high. Would we fish a low tide? Or if we are fishing a low tide, how would we use a low tide to our advantage?
Okay, so low tides, again, it's from a rock and surf competitive point of view.
Yes.
So on a low tide, if we're planning a round, and we're going to go and target diamonds, we want to fish on a low tide because we need to wait. Okay. We have fished rounds, you know, where we've been up at the banks where we've literally carried on waiting, you know, almost to the full tide. But then you're not waiting, you're swimming. Swimming through the troughs and you're getting hit all over the place.
Yes.
But generally speaking, it's about getting into the right water. So very often the low tide, and specifically a spring low, is going to get you a lot further out, you know, so you can wade a lot more.
Yeah.
You can get further out behind the banks that you need to, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas on a full tide, that beach is out of play.
Sure.
You know, you can't get to where it drops off. In other words, you know, you need to wade that bank to be able to get over the back. Now, if the high tide's pushing, especially a spring tide,
yeah,
there's no way you're going to get even close. You need to get over that. So that's where you want a low tide. So there you're going to get your... You remember, our rounds were 8 hours, okay?
So, yes. So you can fish.
Yeah, so period, you would always... So you would want it. You would want to try and time it so that it's, if you were going to wait now, that it's an outgoing tide, a pushing tide. Because remember, you're going to fish 8 hours. And every 6 hours, that tide's changing.
Yeah.
So that's basically it.
All right, but now that's... If we're targeting those diamonds and sharks. Now, hypothetically, the everyday fish, someone that wants something for dinner, right? Kept targeting your bronze bream, your rockard, your shad, right? Whatever it may be, those lighter side of fishing. Would you fish a low tide if you're fishing light? Or
absolutely.
Hmm?
Absolutely.
So would we, although there's not much water around those rock walls.
If I was fishing again, like off a point or on rocks or whatever,
yeah.
100%. Because remember, the fish are in the sea. You've got to get a bait today. You know? So the reality is that will they feed better on certain times? Yes, they'll feed much better on a pushing tide, depending on the actual spot that you're fishing. So you'll find spots that will work absolutely deadly on a dead low because of you can get to it and there is structure there to hold the fish there, whatever.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of reasons why that's going to work.
Oh.
It's not necessarily going to work on a dead low tide on another point.
So it's not necessarily that because we're going to fish a low tide, we're going to have to throw further in. Should we not be able to wade over there? The fish still could be closer by, although it's a low tide.
If it's deeper water. So if I'm fishing for edibles, okay, and like for the pan,
yeah.
I'm going to go and I'm targeting bronze bream, this, that, plus. I'm going to go and target more rocky areas than actual open beach.
Yeah.
So if it's a dead low tide on an open beach, unless I'm wading, I'm probably not going to be on that open beach, period. Okay, yeah. So
dead low, you'd go onto the rocks.
Dead low, I'd be on the rocks because, again, I can now walk on those rocks. I can get out to much further than I could ever get out on a high tide.
Uh-huh.
And I can literally just flick around, go too easy.
Good.
So low tides play hugely, if you're fishing off points and rocks and stuff like that on a low tide. You can get further out.
Yeah, sure.
Now, can you fish those same rocks in a high tide? Absolutely. Now, on a high tide, I'm going to be effectively standing on the beach throwing into the bricks. The
yes.
So I'm going to have tackle that's going to allow me to get in and out of those bricks.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But can I catch fish in them? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because the fish would come in on the tide as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, change of seasons. Does the tides affect it differently in different seasons? Would winter coming up now, would there be more preferred tides to fish as opposed to summer?
Look, winter, the biggest change in winter is groundswell.
Yeah.
Okay. So we call it the winter swell. I mean, the winter swell, if you see guys surfing and whatever, you'll see in the winter they love it because they've got their wetsuits on or whatever and they're surfing because generally you've got that groundswell. Groundswell is a problem for fishing. Okay. And the reason it's a problem for fishing is that it's the energy. That's now, the bigger the groundswell, the more energy involved, which means that we know that in terms of your energy readings, when it hits a certain level, you are going to battle. It's just churned up and it's just, you're not even going to try. So that's what happens a lot in the winter. But do we catch a lot of fish in the winter? Absolutely. You get your sardine runs happens in the winter.
Yes.
Groundswell or no groundswell, those sardines are coming, and everything's going to eat them. So guys, it's all about getting out there and fishing. It's not about, I'm not going to go fishing because it's a low tide. Just choose the spot to fish in a low tide.
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing. On a high tide, then you can fish your open beaches. Because now all of a sudden there's enough water, the fish can come in. But again, you're not going to just go and fish on an open beach blindly for a bronze bream.
No,
So
you look for that rocky structure.
So if I'm going to go and try and catch grunt on an open beach, I'm going to look for a better bank structure, where I'm going to be using some sort of, crustacean bait or whatever the case would be, sea lice or whatever the case is, for stumpies. I want to try and throw in banks because there's going to be water coming over the banks. It's a pushing tide.
Right.
So each scenario can work depending where you're going to go fish.
Okay, so we know your scenario can work and then we just choose our species and then decide where that species would be sitting. Like you said, Rancho Cobb will be on the open beach, bronze bream rockout would be around the rocks.
Yeah, no, most cases. Look, it's not to say that, again, there's anybody that thinks that there's written rules, in fishing is going to make a big mistake. But in reality, yes, you can generalize, and without a doubt, most fish, a stumpy is quite interesting because, I used to love stumpies. I used to love eating stumpies too. He loves eating sea lice and stuff like that on banks, on working banks. So you can absolutely annihilate them on working banks, but you can catch them on the reefs too.
Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
So yes. You catch it in both places.
Yeah.
So that's one reason why I liked it, was I could catch them wherever.
All right.
No written rules.
No written rules, but a good guideline, which I'm really grateful for. Guys, we're going to round it off here. Obviously, we've got a lot more to talk to Dave about, and we will be talking to Dave in the upcoming shows. So stay in touch. Stay tuned. Let us know in the comments how you're feeling about it, what questions you may have for Dave, and he'll be glad to address them. Dave, thank you so much for joining us again.
Absolutely.
Insightful as always. I can't wait for the next topic, because we've done winds. Now we've done moons and tides. Ooh, what's next?
I don't know what's left.
Well, we'll find a lot more questions. That's what the audience is here for. So, Dave, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Guys, until the next one.
This is the Angler News SA podcast. I'm Vanessa Green. Find more episodes at ecr.co.za under podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Let's fish for the future.